Welcome to another episode of the TSD Spotlight on Marketing. I am your host, Sarah Spiva, Director of Communications for Tech San Diego. With me in the virtual studio today, as usual, is Alan Bush, SEO expert and VP of Strategy at Ignite Visibility. Last episode, we talked trends to look for in 2023, and one of those trends was an increase in short form video as a marketing strategy. Now, I bet that when we are talking about consumer brands, it's easy to imagine how short form video can be an effective part of marketing strategy. But when it comes to B2B or business to business, it can be overwhelming when trying to put together a plan. And I know that a lot of small and mid-sized businesses don't have a marketing department or a massive production budget for videos. So what is the solution and how can companies leverage this element of marketing without getting caught in the weeds? I have some film experience, but I wanted to bring in a friend of mine who is a short form video evangelist. Katie Casillas is a digital marketing strategist, course consultant, and co-founder of Casillas Media and Consulting. Katie is a self-proclaimed hype girl for mom business owners and loves helping entrepreneurs get started with an online business, create awesome social media content, and launch digital products like courses and group programs. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, great to be here.
So when we talk about marketing today, video must be a part of it, and it can be intimidating to try to build video content calendar. So we have Katie here to talk about how companies can utilize video marketing in their business development strategy. But first, let's start. Katie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I got my start years ago when I was in the restaurant industry. I was a bartender making my way through college, and this was when social media platforms were just starting to get popular. My boss asked if I could take over the Twitter and Facebook and really post about things that were going on in the restaurant to get people to come in. And I quickly realized that I enjoyed it and wanted to pursue that as some type of career. Fast forward a couple of years later, I got a job here in San Diego at a marketing agency. That was kind of like my marketing boot camp, I call it. Got a little taste of everything that goes into building a digital strategy. Learned social media, content marketing, PR, outreach. And then when I had my son, I went off on my own to become an independent consultant and freelancer, which is what I've been doing ever since. And now I help smaller businesses, even solopreneurs and entrepreneurs with personal brands, create social media strategies and digital products online.
Alan, you work in SEO. So I would imagine that the two of you have some skill sets that intersect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a big part of the marketing mix in general is video. And I feel like video adds to pretty much every marketing mix, just as much as SEO, in my opinion, does, because the optimization strategies also relate to content. And content can be distributed in a variety of ways. You could say, okay, it works for SEO, it could work for paid search, it could work for social media, it could work for email marketing. And working for a full service agency, I see that happening where video is basically, especially short form video, is seeping into all the marketing channels. So I feel like it's super important to get that down and understand and get clarity on your message through short form.
So Katie, I wanted to ask, what kind of content can businesses use to build their video marketing strategy? What is some of the advice that you give your clients?
Yeah, so when we're talking about short form video specifically, We are talking about those little snippets of video. So anywhere from a few seconds to, I would say, up to 90 minutes, and even a little bit longer than that. For the most part, these short form videos are going to be, 15 seconds to 45 seconds. And the content that's contained in these videos, you want it to be educational, entertaining, inspiring, really drawing people in. We have to remember when the end user is picking up their phone to check social media, they're generally going there to get that dopamine hit, right? They want something that's going to make them feel a certain way, laugh, hold their attention. So we definitely want to focus on those three types of content. Then also in B2B, we want to make sure that our content is relaying our credibility, positions our company as a thought leader, and it's content that shows that you understand your consumers' problems, their wants, their needs, their desires, and like you really get them and that you can also help them achieve their desired results. So all of that together is going to make for a good short form video marketing strategy.
I guess my question is, what is the first step when deciding where to start?
Sure.
What kind of video to make?
So I think the very first thing we have to go to, and this is where a lot of businesses get this wrong, is, again, really remembering that audience, right? Why do they care? What do we want them to do? And then when it comes to planning out the content, and I think this is kind of where you were going with this, so like actually planning out a content calendar, we'll go back to those themes. Do they fit into the educate, entertain, inspire? And then make sure that you have a great hook, a story, or some media in the middle, and then a CTA. Now, some short form video is a little bit different because some of them are just trends, so you're playing along with that. But if we're talking about the traditional direct to camera type videos, you want to follow that strategy and then focus on your lighting and sound. Now, if you're talking about, you know, you sit down to film videos and you have no idea what content to create, some great places to start are, you know, what are the common questions your customer, your target audience has, and how can you answer those? Actually, what we're doing right now, this interview style, is a really great way to start thinking of content that your team can bring to the table and doing just recording some mock interviews, answering as if a customer or client was asking your questions, and figuring out how to get what you want to say in a format that's quick, bite-sized, and consumable on social media, and then drafting out all those ideas. I definitely have my clients do a ton of research, look at what others in the industry are doing, see what tends to work. And then also, what content are you creating for all of your other marketing avenues? Can you take some of that to inspire your short form video? Can you chunk it down into little bite-sized pieces?
I think that's really helpful. Definitely, probably the like getting the questions out there to figure out, you know, like I like to go to a website that's Get the Answers or Ask the Public.
Answer the Public.
Mm-hmm. Answer the Public. Yeah. And Answer the Public is a great resource for, you know, when you're trying to share some information, you know, you want to know what kind of questions they're asking about your product or something that relates to your product. So, Alan, how does SEO fit into this plan?
Yeah, so that's a great tool, by the way. I'll Answer the Public. Also asked.com is another great one. I was going to say also, that would have been redundant. So Also Ask does the same thing and actually kind of builds a tree of content. If you put a keyword in there or maybe a sentence or a phrase you're going after, it'll give you the commonly asked questions, split it into maybe four, and then sprout from there other smaller questions that relate to that kind of subtopic. So it's a really great tool in context of getting clarity and understanding where you need to just show your focus. One more tool I'm going to give you some advice with is Soovle, Soovle.com. And that one actually does more so, looks at your keyword and sees what commonly asked questions and or phrases in different search engines. And one of the search engines there is YouTube. Wow. So if you could look at what YouTube is commonly being asked, you could then center your content around that. I'm kind of going at tools. I usually don't go after tools, to be honest with you, but these are ones that, and I swear I'm not getting paid by them. These are things I commonly look at and teach students as well. But how video, especially in the mix, it's content, and content's not just copy, right? I think people tend to view content as written copy, but because there's so many different ways people digest content, you need to reach them in different manners. Now, what's beautiful about a video, and I've seen this and I recommend this, is that you, and I think Katie alluded to this, but if you have a good video, you can always break that into pieces, right? You could take separate video content pieces and put them on your social media channels and your website so people can find you. You could transcribe the content to make a blog so that you have supporting actual copy. You could then break it down into slideshows and images that come from there, maybe on Pinterest, and all the things that I'm mentioning, and even an audio, if you have a good audio on it, just turn it into a podcast as we're doing right now. So essentially, you could take this whole one video, split it into pieces, and then distribute it across the web, which from an SEO perspective, it gives you more web real estate to be a part of, but also even gives you backlinks from these places that you're actually syndicating to. So YouTube, Vimeo maybe, or slideshare.net for slideshows, or Apple for podcasts. I mean, you know, you could get a link from Apple, right? Because you're on iTunes. And so essentially, this distribution strategy stemming from video, which is, in my opinion, probably the hardest thing to do besides like live content. If you could do that, then you have a lot of content that can spawn off of that and put you in different areas where people are digesting content, not just Google, but Google also.
Yeah, and I will add that these platforms are working diligently at becoming even more searchable within themselves, but then they're also being ranked in Google, right? So you could search for something and a TikTok video might pop up. Now, you have to think about who your audience is too. So for the younger generations, they're skipping Google. They're going straight to TikTok and YouTube to get the answers for their questions. So we really need to understand how SEO and search works, apply that to our videos, and make sure you're adding your keywords and key phrases into your content itself, into the captions, and into the text on screen.
That's a great point. And I remember working with a social media expert in a different company like 10 years ago. And he said, hey, do you have the keyword assignment for this client? I said, yes. And he said, good, because I don't even know what they do by looking at their Facebook. So the problem was that we had to get their information, as you mentioned, the keyword strategy, the at least outline of the main points they're going after into these social media platforms. Because as you stated, a lot of the, especially like you said, the younger generation are skipping going to search engines because it's too clouded, it's too cluttered, and they get better answers coming from forums and from social media like TikTok or Instagram. So these are search engines. It's just people think of them just as social media platforms, but they're really search engines as well.
Yeah.
Neither of you mentioned ChatGPT, and I'm just wondering if it's just because we haven't really used it as much, but I feel like ChatGPT might be a great tool to sort of have that conversation, like have the conversation with the robot and find and see what the and maybe their answers are more concise.
Yeah, it's more of a starting point, and it could be in tandem. What search engines are doing now, especially Bing, kind of led the charge with this because they've invested so much. Microsoft in general has invested a lot of money into this, and they're integrating it into their search engine. So you can have a chat and get the answers you need from just very direct answers, or you can leverage the actual search functions, which will then pull people in there. And again, people digest content differently. So even though ChatGPT is the new thing, and I'm sure there's Bard is coming out with Google, these are additions, and it's going to definitely change the landscape, but it's not going to replace the types of content, the things that are going after, especially video. Because they don't have a good way to do video personalities and content the way that humans obviously. Maybe some of your script can come from there, some of your fact checking. But but that being said, I think it's going to be more about you're going to have to be a lot more creative and a lot more involved in being the persona behind your brand. Mm-hmm. You can't just do copy for copy's sake and video for video's sake. Which is in a good, in a way, it makes you step up your game and actually play with the big people that are the big companies that are actually doing this and have been doing this for years are the players that actually play the, hey, we're a personality, we're a brand, we're a lifestyle in some ways, rather than, oh, we sell these products. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a main game changer for people to wake up to.
So what options are there for companies that don't have a marketing department? Do they reach out? Do they hire an agency? Do they hire a freelancer? What are the options there?
So if they don't have this whole dedicated videographer or a team, the first thing that they could look at is just, are there any pieces of recorded video content that we can repurpose into the short form format? Right. This could be webinars. If they're creating long form webinars, again, chop it up, pull some really great sound bites out of those webinars. Maybe live events. If someone on the team is doing a speaking event, go and capture some video there. That's really easy to set up a tripod and an iPhone. If you're recording podcasts, you could turn the podcast recorded content into audiogram type videos or put some B-roll over it so they can get creative with what they already have. You could also kind of get either your team, your employees, or your customers to become ambassadors. So if you want to have a face speaking directly to the camera, some of that type of content, this can be a really great way to get your team involved. I've seen this work really well for some places like restaurants, but also, like agencies. If you've got a bunch of really fun personalities, there could be ways to tap into some of those individuals' personalities if they are representative of your business and your culture and your brand. People like to see things like behind the scenes, maybe employee interviews. You could also maybe have a figurehead at your place of business. It could be the CEO or the CMO. someone who likes to be on camera and could talk and could be, you know, the face of your brand. And the beauty of this short form content is that it can be kind of raw. It doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be professionally put out. In fact, the content that does best looks like someone just picked up an iPhone and filmed it. It looks like they're talking to you through the camera. You know, it's not this scripted thing. It's really that raw behind the scenes, like someone real talking and connecting with the user on the other side. And I'd say the last thing that they could do, this is all on their own, is if they have some, you know, again, put up the tripod with an iPhone or smartphone and film some B-roll of people working, you know, what goes on day in and day out at your business. Right now, it's really popular to put B-roll with some text on the screen. So without hiring anybody new, you can get creative in all of those ways. And then, of course, if you wanted to hire a marketing team, you could hire a solopreneur like me to come in and maybe help you capture some of that B-roll, capture some of that video. If you guys are good with capturing the video, you can maybe outsource the editing. So it really depends on your team, what they're comfortable with, your budget, and kind of how all of that works. But hopefully that gives you some ideas of places that you can start with absolutely no marketing budget and just getting creative.
So continuing that, if someone wanted to hire this out to someone like you, do they look at your content first and see if it aligns with their vision? Or what would be, or what do you recommend be their first step when it comes to looking for a solopreneur or an agency?
I think the very first thing is to connect with the team, connect with decision makers, and make sure you're really clear on the goals that you have for social media in general and where it fits into your overall strategy. I see a lot of people getting caught up with like this FOMO of needing to be on video and needing to just be producing content because they see other businesses doing it. But getting really clear on, okay, we're going to work with someone. We want to be producing these videos. And then this is how we kind of want it to capture people with our, you know, our email marketing, and we're really going to nurture them in that way. So having a really clear goal for social media, how it works into your overall strategy and funnel. And then also, I would go back to what we just talked about and say, which places in here can we leverage? Do we have some people that can be on camera? Can we film some of our own content? And again, do we need it just someone to edit it? Do we want to have them come up with, do we want this person to come up with our ideas, help us film it, edit it, and post it, and then moderate comments? So have an idea of how involved you want this outside marketing team to be involved, and get really clear with that, because there's just a variety of price points that you're going to find and different services and deliverables that you're, that these people can provide. So if you know exactly where you can, where you come to the picture, where you come to the table, and what you need your expert to bring to the table, you know where that fits in your marketing strategy, and you know what your budget is, it's going to be a lot easier for you to find and align with the person that fits. And then, yeah, I would definitely ask for either recommendations or look at their profile and see their work, get some type of idea of content they've created before to make sure that, you know, that they can deliver on what they say that they can deliver on.
Awesome. So shifting gears a little bit, as a solopreneur, you personally, and Alan, I'd love for you to weigh in as well. If you are recording for a client, Katie, what do you like to use for recording, editing, and posting? Do you use like a Hootsuite or and CapCut kind of deal, or do you have a tool that you use for subtitles or for the hearing impaired? What do you like to use?
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, these raw, unpolished, not overly produced videos tend to do really well. So just a smartphone, it's great to have some good lighting. So if you have a ring light or some other type of ambient lighting, make sure you're in a brightly lit place. If you don't have that, you know, put your subject or whatever you're filming, you know, close to a window. One last trick, if you absolutely don't have it, if you're filming yourself and it's nighttime, open up your refrigerator, give you good light on your face. So some good lighting, set up your camera, a tripod. Like, we really don't have to get too crazy with this. I'll record in the video app on my phone most of the time. The only exception to that is if we are doing some type of trend and we want to be using the sound from that trend. So you might record in the app, either in Instagram or in TikTok. Or if there's some type of effect that one of these apps has that you really want to use, that's part of it. And sometimes what I'll do in that way is record that part and then download it. And then I'll do my editing in CapCut. Best practices says to record and to edit and to add captions and everything within the app for best reach. I find it's very hard to do that, especially if you're working with a team. You need to send a video over for approvals and things like that. So I'll download it, edit it in CapCut. They have a free version for both your phone and for desktop. I love working on the desktop because I can use my mouse instead of this tiny little bar with your finger. You can add the captions in there. You can add captions in the apps. If you want to outsource, I'll tell you guys one of my favorite editing and or the service that adds captions, and they also do jump cuts. So they cut the clips really close together so there's no dead space, no ums, no even breaths. So they cut it really close. They add in B-roll if you want, and they'll add captions. And for, I think you can do up to 10 minutes, so 10 one-minute videos for about $100. That's called Splashio. So a lot of times I'll bulk create, send those off to Splashio. And then for posting, again, best practices, post them and schedule them directly in the apps. I haven't found a huge difference when I'm posting or using something like Metricool and Vista Social. Both let you post the short form videos and schedule them in advance and kind of connect to a sound if you want to use a certain song in the background and connect to that sound. Otherwise, you can post directly in the app and Instagram. You can schedule them now. If I need to add any graphic elements, or if I'm making like a quote image with a video in the background, I would use Canva. And then lastly, for the caption, this is where I would use ChatGPT. You know, maybe ask it to give you an idea of a caption for post content using keywords and SEO and see what it comes up with. And then obviously make it your own, like we were talking about before, like Ellen was saying, don't just copy and paste, like use it as a starting point. But a lot of people get hung up on the caption part. And so if you can get yourself a framework, maybe ask ChatGPT to just help you out with some ideas, I think that's great. So that's my stack.
Awesome. Alan, did you want to add to that stack, or are you?
I don't think I can compare to that stack. That's a great stack. Excellent stack. I'm a big fan of that stack. Actually, there's always the professional equipment like Adobe Premiere and Adobe After Effects for if you want to get super professional on it. But I think the majority of people that aren't professional video editors are going to use what Katie recommended here. And I think that for the most part, I feel that the majority of people that I encounter are probably in that realm, unless they default to people that are, like I said, are building kind of professional quality videos and they need all the extra cameras and equipment. But the phone, I mean, it's funny. I look at old camcorders and the quality on your phone is better than that, right? Yeah. So you just film yourself using your smartphone. Some of them, especially now, the most recent ones have a lot of features built into them where you can add a lot of things that were mentioned here just from the get-go, and then download it and do any kind of editing you want to do from there. I also invested at one point in time, it's kind of a combination hardware software. It's called Sling Studio, and it's basically you could take multiple cameras and have it, you could do live events. And this requires a little bit more of an investment in time, but I want to say it's about $900 or something like that. But but basically use your phones, like multiple phones as the cameras, and film a live event, and each phone captures a stream that puts it into this device, and you can use multiple all simultaneously. So if you were doing a live event that you needed to do perpetually and you didn't want just one camera angle, you could use something like that where you could switch between cameras and film a live thing, but also each individual stream is also recorded. I actually have this and it works really well. This is pre-COVID and I was investing in my classroom, but now all of a sudden I have to teach on Zoom. So this became almost irrelevant. But that being said, again, if you're doing these type of things, you can use something like that as well.
So what are your thoughts on YouTube for B2B marketing?
So absolutely. And I think now YouTube has launched their short form version that lives within the platform. So they show up in some different places on YouTube, but when you go to search, you'll get the regular videos and these short form. And I think it's a great place for B2B. I think, you know, when people think of TikToks and these short videos, they do think of products and they think of influencers. But if you go onto YouTube right now and you look up, you know, maybe some of these thought leaders, they're definitely speaking to B2B brands. I think the videos that you're going to publish here, they can be entertaining, but I think they're going to focus more on the educational. And I think one approach you can take is providing tons of value. So educating the heck out of your potential clients so that they keep you top of mind when they need your service, right? Kind of lead them into working with you, figure out what that looks like. One of my favorite personalities that I follow right now, his name is Alex Hormozy, and he owns a company called acquisition.com. And their job is to help businesses and brands get up to a certain milestone. I can't remember. It's millions of dollars. And then they can potentially work with his business, acquisition.com. So he just cranks out tons and tons of content that helps give value and support these businesses so that when they're ready to work with him, you know, he's just top of mind and they're ready to go. So I think you could apply that to lots of B2B businesses.
Tech San Diego has a channel, slight shameless plug, that people can visit to see past virtual events. Because we, you know, we spent a couple of years doing virtual events, and sometimes we're still kind of treading, you know, standing on that line between, I guess we're on that hybrid event train. But the videos are 45 minutes long, and I know that you have spoken about repurposing those longer videos. And can you talk a little bit more about how you would recommend somebody do that?
Yeah. So there is an AI tool that I tried out. I think it's called Vidyo or something like that. It's spelled a little funny. You can pop in a longer video, and the AI is going to look for what it feels are impactful clips within the video. So you could start with that. Or you could have someone, you know, go through. Really what you're looking for are independent pieces of video clips that can stand alone, and you can edit those in anything. I mean, I would probably use CapCut because that's just my default, but you would just trim it down and get rid of everything else except for the clip that you wanted to use. I would check out Vidyo.
I wouldn't recommend using the YouTube editor, but that's just been my experience. It's very, very slow.
Yeah, I'd probably edit it down to the clip that you wanted before you got it in YouTube. And like I said, CapCut's really easy. You can just drop that in and then just trim the edges, trim the front, trim the back, get it down to the clip that you want. Add your title, add your captions, add any background video or background music if you wanted, and you've got a short form video.
Is YouTube the go-to for a B2B? Since I don't know if TikTok is secure, so there might be a lot of companies. Our audience is like cybersecurity and people who work in tech, so they may not be able to be recommended to use TikTok. Is it YouTube? Is it LinkedIn? What do you think is like the one channel that you recommend for distribution of this kind of video content?
I mean, I think Instagram and Facebook are still definitely players. If there is concerns over security of TikTok, I totally get that. All of these platforms have a little bit too much access to our information if we're, you know, being completely honest. But there's ways we can mitigate access a little bit using VPNs and maybe a dedicated device that we use for filming and posting and things like that. But as far as the platforms, I mean, I have a prediction here too. I think LinkedIn is obviously one of the best for connecting with, you know, the decision makers at these larger companies. There's a lot you can do with positioning yourself as a thought leader or a leader in the industry. LinkedIn is slow to catch up with video, but I am seeing more video on the platform, and I would predict that they would come out with their own video placement somewhere in the app sometime soon. Mm-hmm. I know they are reworking the way LinkedIn is going to appear on mobile, and any content that you're publishing is going to appear in its own little section. So they're going to be highlighting content, and I would assume, you know, not just static posts, but video. So we'll see with that. I would say if you're creating for YouTube, which we talked about YouTube for B2B, those short form videos can definitely be repurposed to Instagram and Facebook. So I don't see why you wouldn't try cultivating your audience there. When it comes down to it, even these decision makers are people too, who use their phones for things other than business, and you might be able to reach them that way. And I know we talked about repurposing content a little bit, but what you can do is take some of those short form videos and play around with different formats on LinkedIn. So take a video, take a blog post, turn it into one of those carousels that we're seeing, like the tweet carousels on LinkedIn. So it's really about testing it out and seeing what works. I mean, LinkedIn is the go-to. I think YouTube's a great place. If you're going to start with short form, maybe make that your number one and then repost to the other platforms.
Cool. Do you have a sweet spot for video length? Is it 60 seconds? I know that it's 60 seconds to post on Instagram if you want to just straight post, but not a reel. Or there's that 3-minute length. Where do you think that lies?
So what you always want to try to do, because I don't think there's a perfect length. I've seen lots of people studying this, but your goal is to capture people's attention, get your point across, or get them to stay with you through to the end or as long as possible, and possibly even rewatch, because these platforms are looking for watch time. And watch time is going to factor in heavily to how much more your video gets pushed out in front of audiences that are not your fans and followers. So succinct, shorter, probably better. I mean, if you're doing a long educational video, you just need to make sure you're keeping people's attention throughout that video. And this is something when my clients ask me that, I say, let's make some really short clips. Let's do some longer form of the short form and see what performs best. See where we're losing people and where they're dropping off.
And I think I know the answer to this, but do you think having stickers and titles or subtitles or captions in your videos makes a difference?
Absolutely. We talked about the search capabilities of having those text on there. Anything that's within those first couple seconds of the video, so a lot of people will put the stickers in, they're going to help capture attention. They're and using the stickers and images as you go along is going to help keep people's attention. There's some experts that say you need to either like change the scene or add something every like 2 seconds. So if you can add those things in and make them make sense, so it's not just random things popping up on the screen, I think they do help keep people's attention and up your watch time.
I'll add to that as well. I know that even as a user, if I see subtitles, I'm more apt to stay on the video because a lot of times I'll have my phone on silent. I don't like being distracted. And ironically, I'm in the industry of being distracted, but it really helps to have subtitles because then I can just read what's being said and I don't necessarily have to hear everything that's going on inside the video. So it does capture attention. And I think it really helps, as mentioned, with the search functions as well.
I guess the final question is, you know, whether you hire out, whether you outsource this particular portion of marketing, or you have somebody in your marketing department, or if you have like a very tiny marketing department, you hire the intern. What's the reasonable expectation for a small to mid-sized company of minimum hours that someone should be putting into the video marketing? Because I think the reality is that you think it's going to take 30 seconds to a minute to record the video, but it actually takes a significant amount of time. And, you know, what do you think is the minimum to maximum amount of hours that is reasonable for, you know, for a solopreneur like yourself to work on a project like this, like one video, or give me an hours worked kind of estimate?
Okay. If we're talking about a solopreneur or a small team who has not been leveraging video at all, I think the first thing to do before you say, okay, I need to find 30 hours to create this many videos, is just start with a couple per week and see how long it takes you. I was trying to estimate so that I could give you a really good answer for this, because there is definitely no one size fits all. But so I would say, you know, figure out a way to be consistent with quality content and focus on that and getting better with each video versus, oh my gosh, I said I was going to post a video every day and, you know, I haven't met my 30, you know, and this is taking forever. But what I would say, so if you came to me and you're like, okay, what should I do? I would say, let's think about how long it's going to take us to plan, to film. Maybe we're going to send our editing out to that Splashio company that I talked about, but we'll still need to write our captions and then schedule about 15 videos a month. And we can take those videos, and depending on, you know, your business, this might fit, it might not, but maybe we'll do 5 with some B-roll video with text on screen. Then we'll do another 5 of them. We're going to pull clips from our webinars, our live trainings and events and things like that. And then the last 5, we're going to use someone doing DTC, so direct to camera, talking, answering questions, or giving little little juicy nuggets, right? So that's 15 videos. Each of those are going to take a different amount of time depending on, do I have a B-roll repository, or do we have, you know, those webinars or events or coming up? So it's like, okay, maybe 2.5 hours to do those 5 B-rolls from start to post. That would probably be the minimum. 2.5 for the 5 clips from the webinars or live events, give or take. Maybe another 5 hours for those direct to camera once you've planned it, recorded it, wrote the caption and posted it. If you add in time for like team approvals and revisions, you might be looking at more like 15 to 20 hours a month. So 10 to 20 hours a month, you could probably do it. If that makes sense. You see all the variables in there, but
yeah,
that's kind of like how my brain could break it down if you were looking to start and kind of get an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to give, I would like to give the audience a general idea that it's almost a part-time job.
For sure.
if not a full-time job, depending on how much content you're deciding you want to put out.
Well, I think the way to make it most manageable is thinking about how you can incorporate that into what you're already doing and finding ways to film little clips of video as you go along in your day-to-day, or, you know, so-and-so speaking at a conference, make sure somebody sets up a tripod. So you put that video into your video repository that you can pull from. So if we're kind of thinking ahead of some things we might need and just really gathering as we go, then when we sit down there, write out that content calendar, we're like, oh, we've got these clips we can do 3 posts from, right? And so you're just building it into your marketing flow.
So Katie, so how can people get a hold of you?
So it probably is no surprise I'm on all the social media platforms.
What? No, you never go on social media.
Sometimes I take breaks, but at most of the platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn, I'm at Hey Katie Casillas. It's Casillas. I love connecting on there. You could drop me a message. Website is being rebuilt, so connect with me on social. Send me a message. If you listen to this podcast, I would love to know. And if any questions come up, I'd love to connect.
Katie is a great resource, so I definitely recommend working with her if you're looking for some help in this area, for sure. But she's got a ton of other services that she provides. You can definitely check out all of the things that she does on social media, which is cool. Alan, where can we find your company's website?
Well, I just met Katie, and I would advocate for her right now. So good job, Katie. Very good.
Aww, thank you so much.
You get the input here. You can find Ignite Visibility at ignitevisibility.com. They're on all the social media platforms as well. And personally, I'm at Alan Bush or Alan H. Bush, usually on either Twitter or LinkedIn. And just look up Alan Bush SEO somewhere and you'll find it. You'll find me.
Katie, Alan, thank you both so much for taking some time out today to talk to me. And I think that is it for this episode. Thanks again.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you. Great question.
This episode of TSD Spotlight was hosted by Sarah Spiva, Director of Communications for Tech San Diego, and Alan Bush, VP of Strategy at Ignite Visibility and Professor of SEO here in San Diego. Huge thanks to Katie Casillas for her expertise in this area. Casillas Media and Consulting helps small businesses establish a digital presence, connect to their audience with amazing content, and add additional income streams with digital and physical products. Done with you, done for you, and consulting services available. To learn more, you can find Katie on Instagram at Hey Katie Casillas or Katie at Casillas on LinkedIn, or email her at Katie at Katie Casillas.com. Producers for Tech San Diego Spotlight are Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiva. Tech San Diego Spotlight is recorded remotely and edited by Hypable Impact. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, make sure to like, follow, and share.